word that we have found in the book of Psalms chapter 23. For that word that you've given us, Lord, we find strength and we find hope. Thank you for the anointing that's upon your word. Thank you for the anointing that you have put in me to minister that word today, Father. We come against every distraction in the name of Jesus, and we fix our eyes on you for a few moments to hear from you, to hear from what you have to say through your word today, Father. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, and the church said amen. So Ricardo's already read this one in the Psalms chapter 23. But while studying this book of Psalms 23 over the last few weeks, I've learned what a special relationship there is between the shepherd and his sheep. And as the caretaker of the sheep, in the natural, we see how the shepherd loves the sheep that he's been given to take care of, and how he always keeps a watchful eye on them as he leads them along the way and guides them in the way they should go, that he leads them, not pushes them, not makes them. Amen? And John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, he says, lays down his life for the sheep. So there's much that we can learn about our relationship with God, or it starts out with saying, Yahweh, I am, from the lessons about the sheep and the shepherds. Now, when it was in David's culture, David's time, the Israelite time, the shepherd was considered to be a lowly work. And it was given usually to the youngest member of the family, which David was the youngest of the sons, and he was the youngest of his brothers, and he was the one that went out every day and took care of the sheep on the backside of the desert. And for somebody today, you may think you're on the backside of the desert hidden away, but it's for purpose this morning. Sometimes God just hides us away for a season, and we're to be faithful in that season and just wait on the time of God, and at the right time, he'll bring you forth. Amen? So he was just out on the backside of the desert every day, being content what he needed to do, taking care of a bunch of stinking, stubborn sheep. Amen? So he just knew what he did. He was learning how to be content, as we learned Wednesday night in Bible class, learning to be content with your everyday, what you've been allotted for that day. Amen? And doesn't mean not looking forward or not knowing there's not more, but learning to be content with where you are at the present moment. Amen? So David went on to be a warrior. David went on to be a king. David went on where the lineage of Jesus was from. So you never know why you're hidden on the backside of the desert, church. There's greater purpose in you than what you're doing at the moment. But the key is to be faithful. That's where you are at this time. So there's greater purpose being worked out in you. And verse 1 in the 23rd Psalms begins to set the theme for the whole chapter of that psalm. And it says, David starts out by saying, we know that he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He made it personal. And he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I won't lack. I have no need of anything because he is my shepherd. And because we have made him our shepherd, the rest of what David wrote in Psalms became his, and it becomes ours when we make the Lord our shepherd. And he says, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He's prepared a place of rest for us. And we as Christians need to know how to learn to rest in God. And when you begin to learn about the grace of God, you can begin to learn how to rest in God. That it's not what we do, but it's all about what he's done, and that we'll receive that from which he has done. And it goes on to say, he leads beside the quiet waters, and he refreshes our soul at those places. He guides us along the path of righteousness. Why? Before his name's sake. And because he is our shepherd, we can trust him to have complete control of our lives. In whatever situation that we find ourselves in, we can learn to trust him to have full control. And no matter what may come and go in our lives, the ups and downs and the ins and outs and the reports and everything, he's given us his promise in his word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. In Deuteronomy 31, he says 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified. The verse talking about being afraid, being fearful. Because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then we have the one in Hebrews 13:5. The Amplified Bible says it's so good. I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, give up on you, nor leave you without support. I'll never, in any degree, leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake you, let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and encourage and confidently say what man can do to us. So when we begin to learn to allow the Lord to be our shepherd of our lives, then we can say, he said, I'm never going to leave you. You can run off, and I'm going to pull you back with my love. Amen. I'm going to pull you back with my love. And he says, no matter what you do, I'm not going to relax my hold on you. No matter how stubborn you are, And no matter what kind of stinking mess you get yourself into, he says, I'm not going to relax my hold on you. I'm going to draw you back with the cords of my love, because I'm going to love you so much that you're not going to help but fall in love with me. Amen. So today we're going to be ministering from the rest of Psalms in verses 4 through 6 and continue to talk about how our good, good shepherd takes care of us as his sheep of his pasture. And the King James Version says, yea, though I walk through. Somebody say, I'm walking through it. I'm not stopping. He says, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadows cause illusions that are not real. Amen. I came out to the church last week when it started raining again to check everything. And I turned the hall light on. As I was coming through there, I seen a big round circle in front. I thought, oh man, it's leaking there again. So without coming to check what I seen, I automatically went and got a bucket and went and got some things to clean it up with. But when I got to it, after I went and got everything and got to it, I realized that it was the shadow of the fan on the floor. So I've come to tell you somebody today that shadows are illusion. Amen. Shadows will fool you. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And so many times we start laboring for something, for a shadow that we see that's not even really there. So Jesus says, just rest in me and I'll take care of the shadows. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, just as you sit down there, I heard this through the Lord. Said, great grace is coming to you and your household. He says, in the past few months, past few weeks, you really struggled with some things. And God says, I'm opening the door, opportunity for you to walk through in great blessings. And he says, he wants to encourage you today to continue to be faithful to him. Put your hands to do what you know to do every day. I see great glory upon you. Great glory is coming into you, into your house, and into your, even into your children's life in this season. So he just wants to encourage you today. Continue to be faithful, because doors of opportunity are getting ready to open before you like you've never seen before. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The valley of the shadow of death is not the best translation when we read this in the King James Version. But the original meaning, when you go back and begin to study the Hebrew, it means darkest valley. It means darkest valley. So valley means a low area of land between hills or mountains. And usually, you know, water comes down. Amen. Valleys are usually damp and wet, and there's water there. So typically with a river or stream flowing through it. And so I want you to always remember that water flows down. So if you're in a valley right now, the word of God is flowing down to you. That you're not alone, because he said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you just because you're in that spot for just that moment. And his word, the word is flowing to you right now to sustain you. And he wants you to know that you're not alone. A shadow, a dark area or shape produced by a body coming between rays of light and a surface. That's what shadow means. And the enemy wants to cast a shadow between you and the word. The enemy wants to cast a shadow between you and what the truth of the word is. And if he can get you to concentrate on the shadow, you will lose focus off of what the word says. Now remember, shadows are just illusion. But as I'll go on to say in a minute, there has to be a light in order for there to be a shadow. Amen. There has to be a light in order for there to be a shadow. So the enemy wants to cast a shadow between you and the word. And the shadow is there to get you to begin to doubt and begin to question the word. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And David Bowie declares, I shall not want. And he began to write about walking through this valley of the shadow to death. And the key, as I said before, is walking the through. But you got to understand, the dark valley isn't going to last forever. And that's the shadow sometimes that comes. The enemy wants you to think this is never going to end. I've been here before, and I'm here again, and this situation has happened again, and this is never going to, it's just not going to change. That's a shadow, that's an illusion that he wants to throw between you and the word of God. And so David didn't say, I shall not want in a season of abundance. He said, in a season of darkness, I don't have lack either. Just because I'm in this valley at this moment doesn't mean that I don't have anything. Because God said that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He said that he would supply all of my needs. And even though I'm here in this valley right now, his word is flowing down to me to sustain me in this season. So what our shepherd provides is not conditional. It's not based on the conditions of what's around us. So we don't have to live by statements. If I had this, then this. If this happened, then I would. If they accepted me this. The word of God is not based on those things. So when we make the Lord our shepherd, then we lack nothing. We constantly live in a world of lack mentality. Everybody's searching for something greater, for searching for something better, and trying to get the next best thing, but get that. They're not content, so they reach out for the next best thing, and to always think of what we don't have, haven't done, or haven't achieved yet. And while I was talking about being content a while ago at our Wednesday night Bible class, and here at the very center of the psalm, David comes finally to the very center of his faith. He stops speaking about God as he. And he begins to say, you know, you don't speak that way when the person is right there in front of you. You don't speak about them, you speak to them. Amen? So right here in the middle of the Psalms, David begins to speak not about him, but he begins to speak to him. Excuse me just for a moment. Hallelujah. A shadow. Hallelujah. I'm going to quench it right now in the name of Jesus with some water. So suddenly he speaks to God instead of about him. Because you don't speak that way when the person is right there in front of you. And he speaks to him and he said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David says, while I'm walking through this temporary valley of darkness, I will fear no evil because you're with me. Fear simply means to be afraid. And when a person is afraid, sometimes they will take what they call flight. They will try to run away. And running away from your situation is not going to take care of it. Applying the pressure of the word to it is what's going to take care of it. Amen? So Psalms 91 says, you will not be afraid of the terror of a night. I will not fear of the terror of night. Nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction, sudden death that lays waste at noonday. Amen. That's another promise of his word that's going to take care of that shadow. It's going to remove that shadow. Put the light of the word on it. Put the light of the word on those shadows. Evil means tragedy, trouble, or distress. I will not be afraid of any report that is contrary to the report of your word, Lord. So you may be walking in that valley right now, that valley of the shadow of where there's no sun and it's darkness and everything is contrary to the word. No matter what the circumstance, remember that for there to be a shadow, as I said before, there must be a light. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just a little bump in the road. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for your healing. Thank you for your healing, God. Thank you, Father, for your healing being manifested right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. John 10:12 says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And David says, your rod, he begins to talk to God. He begins to say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod protects me. Hallelujah. And your staff, they guide me. They comfort and they console me. The only weapons that David had to protect his sheep was that he was in charge of was a rod and a staff. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This too shall pass. You should pray for a minute, okay? We will preach this word today. In Jesus' name. Yeah, will you bring me a box of Kleenexes? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What do you do with a little bump in the road? You keep on keeping on. Amen. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Light unto my feet, a light unto my path. Amen. The rod conveys the concept of authority, of power, and of discipline and defense against another. The staff speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind. So when the shepherd was guiding his sheep, he used the rod and staff to make them stay within boundaries, to bring them back if they was to go over and try to get in danger or anything. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just pray, church. Just keep on praying. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Walk through the valley. And to prepare, the Bible says, "You prepare." David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Prepare me to make something ready for use." And you will think while going through the valley of death that God would erect some kind of wall or some kind of protection. You wouldn't think that he would set up a table for you to sit down and eat in the presence of your enemies. Amen? But instead he prepares a table, David said, in the presence of my enemies. Right here, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And he's wanting us to sit down and eat in the valley of darkness. Amen. While we are walking through this valley of darkness, he wants us to sit down in the presence of our enemies and begin to eat from the table that he has already prepared for us. That means that we don't quit. In the presence of sickness, in the presence of depression, in the presence of hopelessness, in the presence of discouragement. Amen. Glory to God. He said, should I not be up rebuking this darkness? And should I not be up quoting scriptures as fast as I can? Should I not be on the phone calling all the prayer warriors I can? But he said, no. He said, I've got a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies, and I want you to sit down, and I want to keep your eyes to stay focused and fixed on me when there's all these things sitting around you. He said, I have prepared a table for you, and I want you to sit down. And when in that valley and there are shadows all around, and we put on the armor of God by listening to the word and receiving that word and begin to speak that word. So instead of being afraid, I'm sitting at the table that he has already prepared for me and eating from the richness of God's grace, of his mercy, of his presence, and of his comfort. Not taking my eyes off of the presence of God. Because that's when the shadows come in. The enemy tries to get you to take your eyes off the presence of God. He tries to cause you not to stay fixed and focused on the Lord. Amen. So knowing that this too shall pass. And when there are shadows all around, I'll come to the table and I won't be afraid, because you anoint my head with oil. Amen. You anoint my head with oil. And this type of anointing is referred to as favor. And it also symbolized refreshing. And he said, while I'm sitting at the table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies, you're going to refresh me. You're going to anoint my head with oil. And when the sheep was out there in the pastures and the shepherd was taking care of them, it would be hot. They would have all this wool and stuff on them, and flies and insects would come and light up on their head and cause some misery and cause some pain and confusion and cause them to be misdirected. And the shepherds would have to take oil and anoint their head. And my goodness, people, how the enemy wants to buzz around our heads and put thoughts and things in our minds that doesn't line up with the word of God. And he said, I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to anoint your head with oil. And the confusion that's there is not going to be there anymore. The doubt that's been there is not going to be there anymore. And as you sit at my table and you feast off of my word and you eat from my word, he said, even as you sit and you feast off of my word and the richness and the fatness of my word, and let that anointing refresh you and revive you, the bugs and things that are swarming around you are going to have to die. They're going to have to die, amen, because of the anointing. Psalms 5:12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, and with your favor you will surround them with a shield. In the presence of my enemies, you will cause me to favor. My cup overflows, the word says. David says, while I'm here in the presence of my enemy, not only have you anointed my head and you prepared a table before me, but he said, my cup runs over. And a cup runs over when it cannot hold all that's being poured into him. And back in David's time, in the time of David, was the filling of the cup, and it meant when you were at the table eating in the midst of your host, when that host come and continued to fill up your cup, to fill up that guest cup, it meant that guest was welcome. Amen. It meant that you could sit down and you could stay a while. Here, let me get you some more. And so he continually filled his cup. Amen. He continually filled his cup. And as long as the host did that, that guest was welcome. And he says, you have caused me to favor, and you continually fill my cup with joy, peace, and renewed hope. Amen. Table in the presence of my enemies. Glory to God. Whatever your enemy is, whether it's sickness, death, disease, confusion, whatever the enemy, whatever is contrary to this word, he said, I've prepared a table before you, and I'm going to invite you to come and sit down. And so today, as we wrap up our series on Psalms, we start off where we ended talking about the Lord Yahweh. It says, begins with a bold declaration that the Lord Yahweh is their shepherd, and as the divine shepherd, the protector, provider, which sustains the start of the psalm. And halfway through the psalm, he shifts from talking about God to talking to God, and God at that point becomes his host. Amen. And so he's continually filling his cup and said, David, come on, sit down a while. Sit down a while. Let me sustain you while you're here. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mercy is the unfailing, steadfast covenant of the love of God, which is grace. And now we are told that we are no longer a guest, but part of the family of God, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for this word today, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the Psalms that you've given us, Lord, to go back and to look into, to find out that we're not alone, that you're a shepherd, that you lead and guide us. You lead and guide us, and you take care of us all along the way. And we're thankful for that today, God. That when the enemy comes in, like a flood, your spirit comes in, Lord. Thank you for this. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor, would you like to add anything to the Psalms 23? Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, we beat you. But no, what I want to do before we dismiss, I don't know how many of you are aware, Sister Shirley's getting ready to go for surgery this week. They're working on a knee. I don't know, it's not a replacement actually, is it? Or
yes.
It's the same thing. And so she's going to be recovering from that. But I want us to pray for her before she goes. So I want you all to stand.
Before you all pray for me, I'll let you know that God's been giving me some specific things to pray about while I'm recovering. I'm working on a message called Why Christians Don't Need the Ten Commandments Anymore. So we're going to come back and we're going to begin to punch that religious devil in the face and get free. The old has passed away. We're living under the new.
Amen. Now, if y'all didn't hear her, just come up to her and say, I didn't hear you. Would you repeat that? Yes, ma'am, you may. If anybody would like to come and join us up front here while we're praying for her, stand right there and face me.
Facing you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh, shoto bokata beverendale a pa da castelle. La madre di Antoco to sho 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 la baba bacare belele. Lady di andara cavalleria bastilia cadidian se toco to roba da la da yke. Lele la baba biandalea talea la mamma mi madidia tak and de andalea. Navade di andalea catalea sania de atalea da mamma mi stan. Nadia takotoyo suntoya la madidia andalea. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we just release your divine healing power. And Lord God, whatever the doctors do, it's going to be exactly what needs to be. It's going to be done exactly like it's supposed to be done. There's not going to be any mistakes, no margins of error. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, you take care of your children. You take care of your children. You said you placed our pain and our burdens upon him. Our sicknesses you placed upon him. And Jesus, we thank you that by your stripes we are healed.
Yes,
and we thank you for success. This is the end of this. In Jesus' name, there will be recovery. There will be recovery completely. Not just enough to get by, but completely. And we thank you, Lord God, right now. Just being with her and your anointing being so strong upon her that even the doctors and the nurses and the attendants that take care of her, Lord God, even they will know that you are present. They will know that, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that there's no worry in Jesus' name, no apprehension in the name of Jesus. I just speak peace to her and to the family that are all going to go through this thing, Lord God, completely knowing that the Lord is her shepherd. Thank you, Lord God, for that. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we believe, Lord God, each of these prayers of agreement that you've heard them. And they come up before you as sweet-smelling aroma. And we just give them to you, Lord God, and expect right now. We believe that whatsoever things we desire when we pray, we believe that we receive them. And we receive them in Jesus' name for her. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I've got a word to give to you. And it's very different. When I was standing here praying in the Spirit and getting ready to lay hands on you, the Lord said, remember, I carry your sicknesses and your pains. And he said, it's time for that to stop with her because I am getting tired of walking around with that pain in my knee.
Yeah.
And he's going to release you through him. He's the one that takes it away. You know, he took our sin upon himself. But he didn't take our sicknesses and diseases and our hurts to carry them around. He took them to get rid of them. Amen. Now we're to Wednesday. You're getting rid of them. He's going to see to it. Oh, okay. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we just release your healing power. That everything's going to go without any mistakes or errors and with no complications. And this eye is going to be whole. It's going to see. You said the eyes of those who see shall not be dim. And we thank you, Lord God, for touching Nola's eye. Thank you, Lord God, for complete success in the surgery. No complications and no after effects. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody else want any prayer for anything? Okay.
What?
You got that one back on?
Yes.
Testing one.
This morning on my way to church, my friend Rick Pickens, who is who's been here before and is what I consider a man of God, he sent me a message, and the message said, "The word of the day, you are not alone, for God is with you." Do you understand the power and awesomeness of that? How deep that is? How empowering that is? Oh my goodness, look for confirmation this morning. So, get up here and Pastor Gerald starts telling about the savings bond thing, about how God had it all figured out since 1989. Another thing that happened to me this morning is while I was getting dressed, I had a notion. I had this pair of big silver earrings, and I put them on, and, you know, I'm kind of little, and they didn't look just right, so I took them off, and I thought, those are so pretty. And then this little voice inside said, take them to Raven. So I get here this morning, and Raven comes walking in and said she'd forgotten her earrings, and there they were on my arm. If God has him figured out the savings bond thing from 1989 till now, if God knew that Raven was going to forget her earrings, there's no problem that you face that he doesn't already know about
That's
and hasn't already
right.
planned the solution.
Amen.
He cares about little things, even when you forget your earrings.
Yeah. Amen.
So I went ahead and texted back. I normally don't text at church, but because of this, just as I sat down and thought on the second message that he had sent, Shirley opens up her Bible, and I texted that you had just read, wherever you go, the Lord goes with you, and the message is, you are not alone. And I think that's important that we know that. Raven and I are getting ready to go to Lexington. I have a niece, and we're getting ready to literally walk into the valley of the shadow of death. I have a niece. She has a cousin. And she has had leukemia. She went into remission, got out, had a bad trip, so to speak. They thought it was a drug overdose, and so they took her. I don't know all the ins and outs. So they took her back to the hospital, and come find out her leukemia is back, and she's in paralysis. I mean, she's had her everything paralyzed and is communicating with blinking and stuff like that. But my thing is, people, and she's 25, and people would say, well, you know, the drugs did it, and, you know, she got a second chance, and she went right back into her old lifestyle. But, as Martha said, it's not like that. And the Bible says that that God delivers the seed of the righteous. And she is, my dad was righteous. My dad was righteous. Her grandfather was a righteous man. Therefore, she's a seed of the righteous. So when Raven and I go, we're going to go in there and we're going to lay hands on her. And we're not going to go by what we see in the moment. We're going to go by what the promise of God is. And so I'm just saying, guys, God knows. And when that message, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you don't get into the valley of the shadow of death more than walking through a cancer unit. I'm sorry. That is the valley of the shadow of death. So thank you and thank you.
Because, I don't know if y'all know, but I also had cancer. And when I found out I had cancer, I was 26 years old. They told me I had stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma. I didn't know much about the Bible. I mean, I went to church my whole life, but I had never sit down, read the Bible. You know, never. I didn't know what book to turn to. I didn't know. I prayed. I went to a room, and I prayed. And I heard God tell me, I'm with you, and I promise that I will see you through this. And I asked him. I said, Lord, what do I need to do? What? Give me some word. And he said, I've already given that to you. I said, well, I don't know where to start. He said, by opening it. And I opened it, and it was on the book of Joshua, the promise, okay? And at that time, I did not understand really how important that was. But the other day, I was taking a shower, and it just hit me, you know? And when I was going through that cancer, and I was in my weakest, and I literally did fight for my life. Like, I would be in bed, and, you know, Satan had me. He had me in his grasp. And I would lay there, and I could call out, and I would call out. And it was like I couldn't move, and I couldn't speak. But I was calling for Jesus. And then he would wake me up. I mean, my hands would be stuck in the air and everything. So, I mean, I was dealing with a lot of the stuff that my cousin's dealing with. And if he could pull me out. And he has me here every Sunday. I might stroll in late, but I stroll in. And, you know, we fight all week. We live in a bad neighborhood. Me and my girls, we fight to get here every week. And we come. And God is just so good. He's just so good.
Amen.
And he will deliver us. He will take care of you for sure. But I just had to say that because...
Amen. Amen. So now you're going to agree with those two girls. I can call them girls because they're younger than I am. Most everybody in here is younger than I am. I won't tell who's not. But just keep them in mind. You say that's happening. You're going right now after church. Okay, so just as it comes to your mind, you make a connection with them right now. Father, we just join with them in their venture. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're bigger than any mountain, as the song says. And you can take care of this. And you love that young lady. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're agreeing right now to your power working in her. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you just have to tell the devil to let your blessing go.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We had two cats. Kenny ran over my favorite cat. Then another cat came to the house, and we started feeding it. And cats are smart. Wherever they're fed, they're going to stay, right? And so then the cat had kittens. One of the cats had kittens. So we had five cats. The black cat disappeared, praise the Lord. And one of the cats I ran over, I'm sorry. And one of the kittens died. So we have two cats. We have the mother cat and the baby cat. So I don't mind the mother cat catching mice, because I really don't like mice. But I don't like seeing them eat it. If I did, I'd probably save the mice too. But the other day, the mother cat caught a bird. I like birds. I was feeding my birds, and here come that cat with that bird. And I thought, no, you're not going to keep my blessing, cat. So it had it in its mouth, so I just went over and smacked it right upside the head, and the bird flew out of the mouth. Sometimes you have to do the enemy that way. When you feel the enemy's got a hold of your promise, smack him upside the head. Well, this morning I was leaving for work, for a church, and I feed the cat as soon as I go out the door, and it always hears the cat food bag, and cats are smart. They know where they eat. And it comes running. Well, I seen her, and she wouldn't pay me no attention. I thought, uh-oh, she's got another mouse, and I'm leaving before I see it because I don't need to be saving these field mice. And so then I backed up, and I seen her go down the side of the house, and I thought, uh-oh. So I started to leave, and just about I started to leave, here she came with a baby rabbit. Yes, big rabbit, big baby rabbit, bigger than a kitten. And I thought, uh-oh. And then she just laid it down. And the rabbit was so scared it wouldn't move, but I noticed it was still breathing. I thought, I've got time to save this rabbit. So I jumped out of the car, and just about the time I reached for the rabbit, it ran straight toward the cat. How many times the Lord rescues us? And instead of turning and going the opposite direction that we're heading, we would still run right toward the danger. The rabbit ran out of the patio, and the cat was chasing the rabbit, and I was chasing, I wasn't chasing the cat, I was hopping the cat toward the cat, and finally the rabbit knew the cat was chasing it, so it stopped, froze again. The very thing that was trying to eat it, it would freeze, and that's so many times the way we are with the enemy. When he comes in and he snatches our blessing, it makes us want to freeze up and not do anything. So I finally got the rabbit. And the very thing that was going to save the rabbit, he tried to make himself get away from it. And the only spot on the rabbit that was hurt was his leg where the cat had caught it with. It was bleeding.
And I grabbed hold of the rabbit, and I put him in my front seat, and I held him down. I was trying to save him, and he was trying to struggle to get away from me. And so many times we want to struggle to get away from God. You know, and he said, just be still. Just be still. I'm trying to save you. I can fix that wound. And sometimes when we're hurt in life, we will struggle to get away from the very thing that's trying to save us. So I went down the road, and I pitched the rabbit out on the side of the road. Well, I didn't really pitch it. I went on that side of the road, and I opened the door, and I laid him over in the grass. And he was still so terrified he couldn't move. And that's the way fear is. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will paralyze you to the point that you cannot move. And the very thing that's trying to save you, amen, the very thing that's trying to save you is just saying, let go and let me be God. Amen. Father, we just lift up these three children to you this morning in the name of Jesus, that this tragedy that has happened to them, that they have seen that it will not mark the rest of their lives. But, Father, they turn toward you, and they that you, the God of peace, will bring them peace into their life. And for the mother, Lord, that this will not mark her for the rest of her life, but that she turns her face towards you and her heart towards you, Father, and that you would just bring her the peace that you need, that she needs, Father. Thank you for setting people in her path that will bring her words of comfort, that will bring her words of direction during this time of healing, Father. We just thank you that you're bringing healing and you're bringing comfort to this family. In Jesus' name, amen. And for the man that committed the crime, we lift him up to you, Lord. We just pray for his salvation and his deliverance, Lord, that this will cause him to turn his face towards you and to receive forgiveness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, I just thank you for being with the members of New Life that aren't here this morning. Lord, there are various reasons, some traveling, some dealing with overcoming physical attacks. And we thank you, Lord God, for being with them. I thank you, Lord God, for being with each one that may listen to this on the internet. Thank you, Father, for keeping their faith, to causing it to grow, keeping it growing. We thank you, Lord God, for the benefits that you've given us. Thank you, Lord God, for your word, for your grace, for your blessing and your promise that I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. Because sometimes we make dumb choices and we end up in some pretty dangerous places. But you're there with us. And it takes nothing more than your smallest movement to take care of our biggest problems. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. And bless your people, Lord God. Each one is, as we go forth for a week of blessing, a week, Lord God, of taking advantage of our opportunities to witness and declare the glory of God. And we just bless you, Lord God. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to say this. I don't know which one of Sister Shirley's sermons was the best this morning, but they were both good, weren't they? Amen.